And we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Jim Powers, and it's been an incredible first couple of weeks of the high school football season. So some great games, some great team efforts so far, and we got to go out to St. Charles County to kick off the show today. Brent Shinacki, the head coach at Howland, what a great start for the Vikings, 2-0. Two big wins to open up the season, and we'll catch up with Coach now. And Coach, first off, congratulations on a great start to the year. I know when we talked in early August, you were still kind of, you knew the first part of the year was going to be a little bit of a gauntlet for you guys, but the way you guys have come out of the gate, it's got to make you real proud of how the guys have performed.
Yeah, we're extremely excited about those guys, and now we're at the point where after the performances they had out there, now it's, I think our job to kind of humble them and teach them about the consistency and the preparation each week that needs to be happened so that we can keep this thing going and make this as long of a season as possible for us.
You know, let's go back to the Friday morning of the first game. The classifications come out. What was your initial reaction when you saw that you guys dumped down to class five?
Yeah, you know what? Over the summer, there were some rumors going on, and I didn't really, put a whole lot of thought into it. And I'll be honest, when we got on there and that Friday morning, I was clicking in class six. I really honestly thought we were going to be a class six program. And I clicked on each one of those districts and seeing that our name wasn't on there. And it's like, all right, here we go. We're class five. And I think there's maybe a misconception that we put ourselves in class five, or it was all the enrollment. We've don't have as many students from that sophomore to senior level, and kind of dropped us. And we've always been the bottom of class six. I think last year we were 28 out of 32, and it just looked like a couple of schools out of Kansas City, Springfield, and then even like Rittner got a little bit bigger and dropped us down. So the big thing when that all happened is, the kids are on that site. Obviously, Mr. Irwin's tweeting that stuff out and just getting them to focus on the present. We don't want to look ahead to our district, to class five state championship. Like, we got to take care of what we're doing right now in the present, and that'll all pay off down the road if we do that.
But, when that comes out, and the first thing I said to myself when I saw you guys got dropped down to five was, boy, these first two games, they're important, but now in the big scheme of things, these first two games of the year for you guys now turn into just unbelievable matchups, because it's possible matchups that you could see later on down the line. And, it's kind of, you're telling the kids you don't want to look ahead, but in the back of your mind and your coaching staff's mind, you got to be thinking to yourself, my gosh, let's set it early. Let's send out the warning flare now that we're here and make sure everybody knows that when we get to districts and all that stuff, we're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and I think the first 2 weeks we kind of set that statement. There's no doubt about that. And we had a lot of good things going for us the first 2 weeks. Those teams are going to continue to grow, and we'll probably see a Zumwalt North again in our district. We'll potentially see those guys again in our district and Jackson further down the road. And those guys are going to continue to get better. And our guys are just playing at a high level. I said it back when we originally talked back in August, is we just had a really good summer with kids, bought in, and we didn't have a whole lot of kids that we were counting on missing for baseball. And guys made adjustments to their schedules to commit this summer. And it paid off the last 2 weeks.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about Brady Holtman. 5 touchdowns in the early season. He's really just been a nice little spark plug for you guys on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Brady is, they say coaches don't have favorites. Brady's one of my favorite kids that I've ever coached. And now, gosh, this is year 12. And I'll tell you why, because he's just a two-way player. He's dominant on both sides of the ball. And then, when we're conditioning after practice, I don't think I've seen him not win one sprint when we're running after practice. He's just a workhorse. He loves the grind, a phenomenal teammate, just the kid does everything right, and you know, he's going to get a lot of accolades this year, and he's going to have a lot of opportunities to play at the next level, and it's all because of the hard work that he's put in, and he's so deserving of what he's about to receive.
You know, the other kid that I really have really enjoyed watching the first 2 weeks is Adam Shipley. We talked about, you know, his summer, his growth, you know, but boy, I tell you what, you know, the way he has just approached his business in running the offense for you guys has just been absolutely phenomenal. You know, not the biggest stats in the world, but when you look at what he is doing to put everybody in the right spot and control, you know, the offense, he's just been just an unbelievable, you know, winner over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So with Adam, you know, he really hasn't had the opportunity to kind of showcase what he's really capable of doing. If we go back to Zoom Off North there, we only had 14 offensive plays in the first half and the run game was working and we just stuck to it. And then last Friday night with the conditions of the rain and those things is, Adam really hasn't been able to showcase his abilities and then also some of the weapons that he has out there at outside receiver and spread it out. It's something that we haven't done, and it's definitely in our arsenal to do, but just with the last 2 weeks' conditions. And Adam's just a competitor. You know, a big thing that helped Adam this year was the competition too. You know, that job wasn't given to him. He had to go out there and compete every day with Caleb Miller, pushing them day in, day out. And it was a close battle. It really was. And that, I think, has helped him tremendously, just having that competition at that position.
Well, you know, and also we talked about Brett Norfleet over the summer. But, you know, once again, you have him out on, you know, you can put him in the tight end slot pot spot. You can put him in the slot. You know, he's got so many different places he can go. And that makes Adam's job a little bit easier because – he knows he's got some dudes out on the edges that he can get the ball to when it needs to be done. And like you mentioned, the running game's been working terrific for you guys. But you also know in your back pocket, you got Norfleet and those guys on the edges that'll give Adam some more opportunities to be successful.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the big thing with it is, and what Norfleet's able to do in the run game for us. And I know I've been criticized for probably not getting Norfleet the ball enough, but you know, we want to be as balanced as possible on the offensive side of the ball. And if teams want to play Norfleet the way they've traditionally played, we got weapons on the outside as well as some of the slot guys that we have there. And we'll get the ball. We'll play the numbers game, find out, you know, our matchups and where the weakness of the defense is. And, you know, I know I've been criticized for how is this kid that's committed to Mizzou that Nick Saban wants at Alabama not getting the ball more. It's those other guys out at the outside receiver position is deserving of getting the ball as well and are dang good football players as well.
But that's the big thing I love about your kids. And I've always said this about how kids. It's not the name on the back of the shirt. It's the name on the front of the shirt. And they get it. They understand. And I've heard the same things you have heard, you know, in some rumblings and all that. But the kids, those are the ones that are out there. And they get it. They know that the only way we're going to be successful is if we play as a team. It doesn't matter who gets the ball, what happens. And I love that that's what you guys have set in your locker room, your leadership group with your seniors. Those are the expectations, is we don't worry about the name on the back. We worry about the name on the front.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the kids have kind of bought into that one rule that we have as far as don't let your teammates down. And it's not a selfish group of kids. You know, Brady Holtman's out there running the ball for us. It's pretty cool to see Jalen Pearson, his backup, you know, and what he's saying and just the encouragement when Brady's coming off the field. And our kids are not selfish kids. They want what's best for the team and they'll do whatever it takes to be successful. And that's pretty rewarding that they bought into that.
Defensively, obviously, Norfleet helping you out on that side. Ty Gurley's just had a great start to the season with, you know, fumble recovery and all that. But, you know, when you look at your first two games, and you've only given up 14 points against two really, really good teams, you've got to be ecstatic with where your defense is right now.
Yeah, our defense is playing with really, really good energy, and just the how we kind of evaluate those guys as far as their alignment, assignment, and then the technique. Those guys are they got it down, you know, especially a team like Jackson where half of the battle was going to be just getting our kids lined up in the right spot. They're going to be an up-tempo team. They're going to come out into a million different formations. They got all the razzle-dazzle, tackle over, all this stuff. And our kids and just their preparation. I told my coaches last week, and I told the kids at the end of the game, when we did our scouting reports on Monday last week, the turnover and what they brought out to the practice field on Tuesday, remember, like they knew what to do. They knew what was expected of them on that Tuesday. They were dialed in that Monday when we were going over the game plan. And Coach Burrows is our defensive coordinator this year. He was with me at Hayeswood Central. It's his first year taking over, calling the defense. And he's just got the kids playing with great passion and energy.
You know, and you hit it on the head. I mean, anybody that plays Jackson knows that they're going to throw, you know, that Brent's going to throw 85 different formations offensively. They're either going to go power one play, then they're going to go, you know, rip it and go, you know, on the edges another play. And it was really impressive watching you guys because you said it, you know, everybody was dialed in and in the right spots. Now this week, you got the same type of team pretty much, you know, that you're going to be playing, you know, yeah. Where scouting reports are going to be, you know, integral. You got a team that's going to line up in all sorts of different varieties of offensive sets. And, you know, people don't understand that that's how the game has changed, you know, right now on the high school level is, you know, everybody's really working to do a lot of great things offensively. And it's really put the onus on the defense.
Oh, absolutely. You know, going back 10, 15 years ago, before really the RPOs have evolved in offenses, everybody thought the dumb guys were on defense and the smart guys were on offense. You got to be smart on the defensive side of the ball now as far as, you know, simplifying things for the kids and you know, just coming up with easy checks for the kids because the complexity of offenses, even at the high school level, it's the smart guys have to be on the defensive side of the ball now. Yeah, I mean, just the basic thing, like I said, getting the kids lined up in the right spot and then being able to execute and minimize some of the thinking so that they are executing without slowing down because they're thinking.
Heck, when I coached 20 years ago, you know, I thought we were on the cutting edge running the Air Force triple option and, you know, running some wing stuff. I mean, shoot, look, I mean, over the 20 years, it's just evolved into an unbelievable, you know, offense. And you're exactly right. You know, the smart guys now got to be over on the defensive side because of how everything's evolved. You know, talk about your opponent this week. Obviously, a great team. They're a lot of fun to watch as well. You know, what have you seen on film? What are going to be some of the things you guys are going to need to take care of business this week?
Yeah, and I think it's every week. I could probably say this, but we got to control the box. I think their strength is their offensive line, defensive line, but they also have some playmakers that have some pretty good speed. So if we can take care of our business up front with them, I would say the strength of their team right now is just their four defensive linemen. If our offensive linemen can get after it for four quarters on those guys, it should be a pretty good night for us. But that's the strength and you know, obviously the speed and they do some things where we got to have great eye discipline in our secondary. And if we do that, I'm hopeful that our guys could be pretty successful.
You know, the schedule for you, you get Lutheran North this week, then, you know, Howell North, and then you go right back into it in a three-game stretch that is, you know, just as brutal as the start of your season with Troy, West, and Timberland. What is the thing in the locker room to keep everybody locked in and not looking ahead, but knowing that you got to take it week to week and use the old coaching mantra, okay, we're 0-0 now. We're looking for our first win of the year.
Right. Yeah. And it's something that we preach it every day is just live in the moment. You know, don't look ahead to districts. Don't look ahead to Hal North, Troy, whoever it is, it's we're right here. We're going to take care of business today, and all we're dialed into is Luther North right now. And you know, one of the kids wrote over the summer on the whiteboard 9/23, and it was, you know, just a date up there, and that's the day we played Troy. I couldn't erase that thing quick enough. So we're dialed into each week's opponent. You know, we're not looking ahead to anything. And it's been fun. Each week now, out of these first 3 weeks, we've really had to dial in and prepare well. And this out of conference schedule is hopefully going to help us down the road.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, I know you're in Sean's office. You got to blame him a little bit for that, you know, for that non-conference schedule, but it's like me and you have talked about for the last couple of years. You've got to play these types of games early to get you ready for districts, to get you ready for a state playoff run. Because if you don't, if you go back to, you know, when you were at Central and when you played, you know, you played those easy games early, and it really didn't culminate in getting teams ready for a stretch run. Whereas now everybody's playing big games in the early season to get ready for the later part of the season.
Absolutely. Yep. Especially if you can get out of these games healthy, and knock on wood, we've been able to do that. And just what, you know, the way the kids grow on the film on Saturdays after playing these types of games, and just the preparation, knowing how to dial in when you're playing a really tough opponent, like we've seen the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate the time. Always great catching up with you. Great start to the season, and good luck on Friday night against Luther North, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim. Take care.
No problem. Brent Shinaki, the head coach at Francis Howell. They get Luther North 6 o'clock over at Luther North on Friday night. When we come back, we're going to go to Jefferson County. Brett Tinker, the head coach of the Fox Warriors, they're off to a good start to the season. We'll catch up with him. Coming up next on Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast on Scoops with DannyMack.com. I'm Jim Powers. I want to thank a good friend of what we do with the high school sports caravan with Scoops with Danny Mack, Brent Shinaki, for joining us here a little bit ago. And now we get on to Jefferson County. And anybody that knows me knows how much I love the football and the athletics down in Jefferson County. They don't get the coverage that they deserve here in the metro area. It's something that I've taken upon myself with what I do with the caravan on Fox 2 every Friday night, is to highlight some of the great things going on down in Jeffco. And a program that has really been strong over the last bunch of years is the Fox High School football program. And their head coach, good friend of mine, Brett Tinker, joins us. And Tink, you know, first off, great start to the season, 1-1 on the year, but kind of talk about, you know, just your program and how you guys have just built a very steady process and a steady program over the last bunch of years.
Well, the biggest thing I can say is we have been lucky enough to have a pretty consistent coaching staff. I really think that has helped us a lot as we've kind of been climbing the ranks a little bit. Last year we went into the COVID season with that really strong senior season, and they were going to have a good year no matter what. But I don't know, with their maturity, I think the COVID season actually helped them because they could handle the adversity more than a lot of people could. Last year we took a little bit of a stride back, had some you know, overall issues we got to work on. And this year we're kind of in the process of trying to get back to that level of excellence we want to be at. When you really look in St. Louis, you look at those teams that are like just year in and year out, they're tough. We want to get back there and be one of those teams that year in and year out is tough. And I, if we have 7-win talent, we want to do everything we can to win 8 games. If we have 5-win talent, we want to do everything we can to win 6. So our goal is just to maximize our potential every year. This team's on that path. Really appreciate the job that Lafayette and Coach Manny did against us. They were better at their system than we were at our system the other night, so we didn't get to win. So that's another point of learning for our staff and our program as we continue to try to be as consistent as some of these other programs have been.
You know, you mentioned COVID, and we didn't get a chance to talk over the summer, but, you know, talking to a lot of the coaches, you know, this summer previewing and getting into the season, we talked a little bit about how good it was to finally, after 2+ years, getting back to some sense of normalcy, so to say, being able to do the team camps without protocols and, you know, being with your guys all summer long. How did that kind of affect you guys in coming out of COVID? You mentioned that senior class, and I loved that senior class. They were terrific. But, you know, it made a lot of guys grow up a little bit. And one of the things that a lot of kids told me over this, you know, spring and summer was, you don't appreciate stuff until it's gone or it can almost be taken away from you. And I think the level across the board has risen, you know, over the last year or so with high school athletics, including football.
Yeah, I think that tough times like that are always going to kind of expose your strengths and your weaknesses. So, you know, for us going into that, it probably did actually shine a light on the maturity we had as a group in that year. But then how everybody comes out of COVID has been different. You know, like we talk about the good it's done, because I think it really has forced people to be a little stronger and be a little more consistent. But it's also kind of exposed some people who are struggling with some different things. So I think the COVID experience for everybody was drastically different. And now the post-COVID experience is a little bit, in some ways, a reaction or a proactive reaction to how the kids have been, because some kids did come into it and come out stronger. Some kids went into it and never really came out of it. So, and I think that's probably fair to say of adults also, but any kind of adversity and any kind of hard time is going to put you in a position to highlight your strengths and unfortunately sometimes your weaknesses. But I agree with all the coaches that are, football is fun, but in order to put the time into this job, the sport itself is not enough. I don't believe if it weren't for the relationships and the time you get to spend with each other, I don't think it's worth all the time we go into it just to play a game. I think what makes football a little bit unique and different is that it is a community event. It is a big group of people working together for one goal. So, I think that looking at that, I'm not even sure where I was going with that now that I'm halfway through that statement, but I think that football is unique, and that without the time we have together, without that normalcy, with COVID being gone, I think in some ways it steals the experience, because it is a community involvement. It is a community experience. And I'm so happy to be back to where our student sections are there, our band is there, our parents aren't regulated. That really did steal a lot of joy from a lot of people. Now, we made the most of it. That's the idea. We go into that with the idea there's things we can control and things we can't. We had to seize everything we could, but it definitely feels nice to kind of start being regular people again, seeing the crowds there. I mean, we've had some really good crowds in our first two games, and I appreciate that. I enjoy that they enjoy coming out, and it makes me happy to see that.
No doubt about it. And yeah, you hit it on the head. The crowds that I've seen over the first 2 weeks have just been off the charts. It's back to before COVID and all that stuff. So let's talk about your dudes. And obviously, I think it starts and stops with Dylan Stevens. You know, what a great job he's done for you guys. You know, on the offensive side of things, talk a little bit about him and how he's grown into your offensive program to be successful and to be that leader out there to put everybody in the right spots to be successful.
Well, Dylan is a classic and a perfect example of a kid who had to continue to defeat other issues that he had so he could maximize himself on the field. Like, I've always liked Dylan. You know, I've always liked Dylan, but Dylan had some body weight issues he had to address. He had some other things he had to get through. The entire time he was a great kid, but watching him accept challenges and allow himself to be challenged to get where he's at right now is awesome. Now, from a purely football standpoint, it's been a little bit hard to evaluate Dylan on the field because our offensive line play has to get much better. You know, we did not have a great, well, we got 3 sophomores in the offensive line, and God bless every one of them. We love them to death, and they're going to be fine. But there was a lot of plays to the right that we were moving to the left, and there was a lot of issues there. So for Dylan right now, honestly, the fact that Dylan is able to play under all that adversity and not lose his composure and not turn on his teammates is just another testament to him. Like, I'm really impressed with him as a human being. Quarterback second, right? Football player second. Right. But as a kid, he's going to make it. he's going to make it. And there's a lot of people that have the exact same situations that aren't going to make it. But he accepted challenges. He's okay with being corrected. And he's going to have a pretty solid life, I think. And I'm proud of the direction he's going just in life. And then if you can handle life, football gets a lot easier.
No doubt about it. And he's just done a terrific job. And then you got a couple running backs. I mean, you know, Dominic Murray and, you know, Aiden Smith. And then you throw Kevin Nguyen in there. I mean, you've got three guys that you can hand the ball off to in your offense, and they're going to be successful.
Yeah, Dominic is another kid who's just accepted challenges and allowed himself to grow up. And he would tell you himself, he's probably a little bit of a late bloomer. And he really has been locked in this year. He's working really hard. Aiden Smith is probably being an all-conference kid last year, he's probably got a little bit more attention than some of the other kids. He does have an outstanding skill set. We've got to keep on working on building up his body so he can be, you know, as physical as some of these other big backs that we're going to see throughout the year. And then Kevin Nguyen is just one of the best listeners and best learners and most reliable kids in the program. I would say Kevin's probably the toughest person on our team. He is probably the most disciplined person on our team. Pound for pound, he's easily the strongest person on our team. And just as a person, just hats off to him. He's light years beyond anywhere I was as a kid. So I'm super proud of him. And you know how that is. There's a handful of kids behind him that don't get their names called yet, but they're coming.
You know, and you mentioned that offensive line, you know, young dudes that get it, that understand. Yeah. And, you know, it's got to be grateful for you and your coaching staff to see these kids being thrown into the fire, so to say, but growing day in at practice, and then week in and week out during games.
You know, and that's the biggest thing. And humility is easy for me because I never really accomplished a great deal as a high school, as a player myself. So like, it's pretty easy. And I would say I didn't choose humility. Humility chose me. But like, I love the fact that these guys are not afraid of work. We have a lot of young players and a lot of inexperienced players on the line. And they're not perfect, and they don't have to be perfect. They just have to keep showing up and keep working hard. And so far, they have. And coaching this team has been difficult this year, trying to figure out exactly which way to motivate these guys. You know, I was talking to one of my wonderful sophomore linemen, Peyton Younger, yesterday. I'm like, Peyton, when I'm mean to you, you don't like it. When I'm nice to you, you don't like it. I'm like, I don't know exactly what to do. So, like, I'm hoping our conversations keep working. But Peyton's an outstanding player. The reason I bring that up is this is an interesting group and trying to figure out exactly how to connect to them as a unit and then connect to them as an individual has been an ongoing issue, but they show up every day. They show up every day. They're at school every day. We've made a major push to be on time to school every day. And I don't know how many people we start school at 7 a.m., which I think is a really early time for a high school kid to be there. But we've worked really hard on taking pride in our attendance and our punctuality. And the kids have accepted those things and they're improving at those things. They're not perfect, but they're trying. And, you know, we're not going to turn on the kids and they're not going to turn on us. So, like, we're going to keep on getting better together. And I'm really excited for Friday.
No doubt about it. And defensively, how many Pasoni kids are going to come through the Fox program? I mean, year in and year out, this year you've got Junior that, you know, has done a terrific job on the defensive side along with Jamison Winfrey.
So there's nine of them total. There's nine of them.
Oh, man.
Junior is a senior, and the baby is Zach. He's a freshman. All right, so we got another couple of years. Now, the oldest brother, Alex, did move to Festus, so it looks like the next batch might be coming through Festus. But, there's nine of them total, and they've all been pretty productive for us. Junior has been – he'll play some offense also, but he's kind of the jack of all trades. He can play safety. He can play linebacker. He's done a great job. Sam Street – has been actually Jamison Winfrey too. Sam Street and Jamison Winfrey have both been multiple year starters at inside linebacker, and they're helping us out on offense as well. A kid that probably doesn't get enough credit is Tony Redding. Tony is an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, and I honestly think at times he might be the best player on the team at his position. But there's a lot of people trying to plug in and get better, and pretty excited about them. Just because, like we said earlier, they keep showing up. They're going to keep getting better. They're not perfect. They don't have to be, but they are doing really well right now. And we're going the right direction.
schedule wise this week, it doesn't get any easier for you. You get Lindbergh, you know, over at Lindbergh, and then, you know, your conference is a solid conference this year, right? Where you guys got placed in the Suburban, but then you get the matchup, the C6 battle with Sekhmet, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but kind of just talk about, you know, some of the expectations with the conference season coming up against some of these great teams, you know, in the St. Louis area.
You know, I really, most people will tell you that they don't look ahead in the schedule, and I really don't. Now, I'm not saying we don't have other people keeping an eye on things, but for the most part, I feel like we have solid relationships with everybody that we play. We don't have anybody, I'm fine with trading every game with every team all the time. So I think that helps in the preparation down the way, because like anybody that wants to trade with us, we'll trade, we'll do the very best we can. And a lot of the coaches we're playing are the same way. They're not interested in being sneaky or trying to find film through a back door. They're willing to just to trade up front, and that makes that a lot easier. Now, Lindbergh and Coach Norman, I really think the world of those guys. I really do. There's good people up there. I absolutely love what he does. He is sitting at 2-0 right now, and he is old school, back to basics. I in a lot of ways, I'm learning lessons of my mistakes by looking at Lindbergh. I'm like, well, Lindbergh is doing they're doing a few things really well. And he's going to keep winning games because of that. I respect their staff. Obviously, it's a great school and a great community. We've had a little bit of an up, and we went on a little bit of run there. We were kind of handling most of the people in the area, and then they've all came firing back at us. And to hats off to them. They've gotten us the last time we played. But like, I absolutely adore what he does. I love how he does his job. I think he's got a great group of guys working up there with him. So like, we're really looking forward to the Lindbergh game. Out of nothing else, I completely respect what they do, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. Beyond that, I really don't look down the line. Coach Sander is my defensive coordinator. He has all the trades set up, and I know he has all the film going. But I'm a 1 week at the time person, because I get confused. If I start looking at two different teams, I know I'll get them mixed up on Friday, and I can't do that.
You know what? It funny you said that, because I remember when I coached, even when I coached basketball, yeah, I was the same way. It's just like, okay, you start watching multiple teams and multiple films.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that, you know, as a head coach, you have to concentrate on what's in front that week, but that's what your assistants are there for, to delegate. Okay, you're going to go ahead. Like for you guys, you got to look ahead the next week to Rittner. And, you know, a lot of staffs will break it up to where, okay, you're looking at Rittner stuff this week while we're getting ready for, you know, and people don't understand the ins and outs of that side of coaching.
Yeah, having an established process so you're not scrambling is really important. And then also learning how to focus and learning what you're going to value in the process. Like with us being a little bit different, typically our most valuable film on a team is the last time we played that team. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, if you're going to watch watching Lindbergh play a spread team, and they're not going to play us the exact same way. So you can get an idea on personnel and stuff, but you got to figure out what you're going to break down and what you're going to watch. And, you know, and what I think that helps having the experienced staff. They get everything ready. So whenever we do turn the page, it's already filled out. We're ready to kind of organize it and go. But, you know, conference wise, honestly, I don't love the way they do the conference. I feel like we've lost a lot of regional rivals.
Yeah.
I feel like we're not playing Oakville. We're not playing Northwest. We're not playing teams that are 10 minutes away from us. That's for Sekhmet's a non-conference game.
Yeah.
So I don't really love the way they do that. But the good news is nobody asked me, and I don't think they're going to ask me next time they do it either. So I'll just keep showing up here.
You talked about Sekhmet, and that's going to lead me into, you know, 2 points here. Number one, I love how the Fox 6 school district between you guys and Sekhmet have really turned the corner on the football side of things, because, you know, when you guys were really good, Sekhmet wasn't that good. And now we're getting two programs that are pretty solid. And the job that Nick has done has been terrific. You know, how cool is it to see your neighbor school part of your district being successful as long as well as you guys are?
Well, it goes back to the relationship part of it. Like, I have gotten to know Coach Bear better over the years. Now, I wouldn't say we're close, but if I picked up my phone and called him, it wouldn't be weird, you know? So the biggest thing for him is, whether people like it or not, he has an identity, and he has not shifted it. The biggest problem you'll see with a lot of the schools that are historically struggling is they change who they are every year or two. And he didn't do that. Now, he's got a great player right now. You know, the kid's spectacular. But he, and that's okay. He's using him, but he has stuck to an identity. There's been a way of doing things, and he's reading the room on his community. They're going to have 140 people in their program. There's a lot of people wanting to be involved down there right now. So, yeah, with what they're doing right now, is the biggest thing that he did is he didn't listen to the other influences. He didn't they all get the ball outside, throw the ball stuff. Like, he did what he knows. He's got a really good group of coaches down there with him. I think one of the guys I'll brag on who probably just doesn't get enough credit in general is Josh Freeman's down there. Yeah. And he's a top-notch guy. Top-notch guy, very great guy for Coach Bear to have on staff. But, like, those guys have got an identity, and they're not just wavering every time the wind blows or every time something goes wrong. They don't just reinvent the wheel and panic. I think it was great they got to go play Valley. That's an important game, you know, as part of the growth of the program. And they did some good things. I have not seen the game. Across the board, there's nothing wrong with, you know, they always say their success doesn't change my success.
Right.
Right. So I don't benefit from them not winning. There's only one time a year that I really don't want them to win, and that's when we play them. But other than that, I have no issue with that. And like you were saying earlier, the more we win in Jefferson County, the better for all of us. It starts putting a little bit more of a renewed emphasis on athletics, which we could drastically benefit from down here.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you were leading me right into the next point. Look at the football down at Jeffco. And once again, when I opened, you know, the interview, I think I may be one of the only guys in the media up here in St. Louis that has constantly bragged about how good football and athletics are down in Jefferson County, because you guys don't get the coverage up here that you deserve. Now, obviously with Fox, you guys are kind of right on that border between being in the St. Louis area and, you know, down in Jeffco. But I love how athletics, and especially football, has really turned the corner down in Jefferson County. You know, you guys were the leaders of that, still are. You know, Seckman, now you've got a Herculaneum team that's 2-0 for the first time since, you know, 2011, the job that they've done down there. You know, Festus, the job that AJ has done. Mm-hmm. It's just really great to see everybody now starting to kind of take notice a little bit how good football really is down there.
There's no question. I am really, really happy to see it. Herculaneum has been turning some heads. They've had some really good games. And hey, Herky's been powerhouse in the past.
Yeah.
I think they went through a rebirth of kind of figuring out who they, with R7 developing, I think that really shifted the kind of kid they got, you know, and I was right in that age when R7 started coming around, but Herky was getting those kids. And then R7 started, had a really successful program on their own. And Coach Atlee is a wonderful guy. He's going to do a good job down there. But then you look over, and he's a Hillsboro guy. You look at Hillsboro, and they have actually, Brian Robbins kind of got the ball rolling there. And then Lee took it over for a while. And now Coach Saharsky's, there's a lot of talent coming through Hillsboro right now too. You know, they've got some really good players. To be honest with you, I'd love to get a chance to play some of the local talent a little bit more, but we don't really have that freedom within our schedule. But if you look at the county down here, it is definitely getting better. St. Pius is playing pretty good. They're improving their program, but it is good. It's good for me. The better everybody else gets, that actually only benefits me. You know, it only benefits me when sports become and football becomes more important in this region, in this area. So like, I actually do root for the local guys. Every time we're not playing them, I really do root for them. I want them to do well because it helps all of us.
Tick, you know, I've known you for years. You know, I remember when you first took over the program. How much fun are you still having coaching? I mean, you got that excitement level. You've got the smile on your face. you know, how much fun are you having with these dudes and getting out there and working with them and educating them and showing them the right way to do things?
I'll tell you what, I think the biggest thing is, like, yesterday, I didn't have a lot of fun. but going into it, oh, I know that. I'm going to have fun today. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to realize, again, it's much bigger than football. It's about being that positive role model, witness, example in people's lives, which I don't always do. But I'm going to go right back to the idea that we talk all the time about, you know, one of the things we're doing right now as a program and in life. I tell you, I get my motivation from odd places. I took my daughter not too long ago to watch the Frozen 2 movie. I guess it was a couple years ago now. And there was a quote in there that I'm sure it's not completely accurate, but says, when the path is unclear or the future is uncertain, all you can do is the next right thing. You can't do that until you've established a morality to know what is right and wrong. And that's where most people get themselves in trouble. So I have to go right back and apply that to myself. The next right thing is not morally right thing to do is not come in here with a grudge from yesterday. It's to come in here and get going again and have a great day today. So there's no question, like, genuinely, you have days you're like, I have to be able to, like, I guess it's good for me because I have no other skill sets. So, like, I'm not looking to leave the industry because I'm not good at anything. But, like, for me, I don't really see myself going anywhere else. I mean, you know, life has different plans. God has different plans. I don't know exactly where things will end up. But, like, I don't think I'm going anywhere. I'm coaching my son's third grade junior Warriors football team right now. I'm helping out with that. I'm probably coaching those kids all the way through, and that'll be right about the time for them to drag me off to pasture. But, like, I don't think I'm going anywhere. So you're darn right. I got to make sure we always refocus on the greater good, always refocus on the greater purpose. And we have to have fun and enjoy being there. Yesterday, I didn't have fun, but I'm not going to let that be 2 days in a row. I'm having fun today. They can join me in that fun or they can be miserable. That's fine, but I'm having a good day.
You know, and I know a lot of the basketball guys up here, they coach their kids in the lower level. How is it going from Friday nights on the sidelines at a varsity game to, okay, I got to bring myself down now and coach third grade junior Warrior football with your son? It's got to be a challenge.
It is, and it's not. It's actually a great refresher when you realize when you realize how similar they are. Yeah. When you step back and realize that the social skills and the independence that one kid has is not even drastically that much different. The only difference is the kids have more complications in their older life. But, like, it all comes down to, and that's kind of, honestly, that's what pulled me out of my bad mood last night. I couldn't stay in a bad mood. I had to go work with the little guys. And it's actually a great refresher. It's a long day. Right? These are long days, but it is a great reminder. Right? It's always hard. When you look at high school kids, it's easy to look at high school kids and say, look at that punk. Right? But it's so much easier to have love and empathy when you see that second grader. And when you realize that second grader did become that high school kid and has had to live that all through all those struggles and become this person, it's a lot easier to go back to having empathy. Now, it's tough to do on a day-to-day basis, but you have to constantly remind yourself that we all, and I know I'm getting a little more philosophical about education here, but we all have to take another stab at that kid who's struggling. He's not going anywhere. That kid's not leaving. All right, he's going to stay in our community forever. So it does nothing but good for us to take another shot at that kid. That's why I love alternative education. I love all the different placements that I would like to see our district continue to grow in, because, you know, we got to keep trying to catch those kids that are falling by the wayside, because those are the kids that are checking right now to see if your car door is unlocked. So it's better for all of us to keep on trying. I'm not sure exactly how I got to this kick, but I have been on an alt school kick, an alternative placement kick for a while. So I'm not surprised I got to that during this talk, but not sure how I got there.
No doubt about it. Well, Tank, you know, it's been too long since we've had a chance to talk, but I love catching up with you. I know you guys are going to do some great things this year. You know, good luck the rest of the way. And I know we'll definitely catch up during the season a little bit more frequently.
Well, I'm going to brag on you now. All right. Before we go, I got to tell you that without efforts like these, high school sports don't get the sunlight. You know, it's tough when it's hard to compete with the Cardinals. You know, it's hard to compete with Pujols doing what he's doing, right? It's going to be hard for us to get some press time. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for keeping it going. We got a lot of good local high school coverage going on right now, and I want to make sure every single time that we're included on behalf of Fox High School in Jefferson County, we drastically appreciate you. Thank you for including us. And if I can ever help in any way, please let me know. I'd be happy to come on and talk.
No doubt about it, buddy. Good luck the rest of the way. Good luck Friday night against Lindbergh.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Brett Tinker, the head coach at Fox, joins us. We want to thank him. We want to thank Brett Chinaki also for joining us as well. What a great episode. Next week, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We need to start getting into some of the other sports. Soccer's in full swing. Also, volleyball, softball, and the other sports. So we got to keep those things going and get those guys on the podcast as well. But what a great episode this week. And excited for what's coming down the pipe. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm Jim Powers. This is Inside the Lines, a high school sports podcast right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.